Hello from Weymouth, Dorset, UK. This is show 18 of the Zip & Co. podcast show. It's good to be back after a bit of a while away. On this show, I've got some weird stuff. I've got some Podsafe music. I've got a exclusive interview with a local musician on the News Monkey spot. I've got all sorts of stuff. So I think we should get on with it, don't you?
It's rough to sing the blues, but I never had it tough cause I'm paying my dues. My life is like a book about doing without. I always have enough to sing about. I used to complain when things go wrong. Now I just think about another song. I got a blues-o-matic. My life's a blues-o-matic. I'm just a blues-o-matic, baby. Every day another song. I got a blues-o-matic. My life's a blues-o-matic. If you think you had enough of the ugly truth, I'll lipstick the pig and give you a barbecue. Life is like a movie full of mystery. It riddle solves itself if you just let it be. I used to complain when things go wrong. Now I just think about another song. I got a blues-o-matic. My life's a blues-o-matic. I got a blues-o-matic, baby. Every day another song. I got a blues-o-matic. It's a digital stream, state of the art. The drums kick in and the bass line start. It's a dream machine, a turbocharged thing. Gears spin around as I start to sing. I never in doubt as I throw the switch. A song comes out and we all get rich. I got a blues-o-matic, baby. Every day another song. I got a blues-o-matic. My life's a blues-o-matic. Look out. Had a touch of fear. Slavishly mastered how to engineer. I got a blues-o-matic. My life's a blues-o-matic. Ah, blues-o-matic. My life's a blues-o-matic. Sonny! Saxophone, Mr. Brendan Connors.
Mm-hmm.
favorite song. I got a blues-o-matic. Yeah, let's get out of y'all. Thank you.
That was David Chainsaw DuPont and the Blues-O-Matic, the real guitar hero from the Podsafe Music Network. There'll be a link to his website on the show notes if you want to go and have a look at what other things he does. One of the items that I'm going to include in this show 18 is the new News Monkey spot, where I have some local news and a great interview with a local musician. So, I think we should play that now. What do you think? Okay, here goes.
Hey up, it's the News Monkey.
What? No, you've got that for us? Okay, well, let's have a look.
On this edition of the News Monkey Spot, we got some local news and an interview, an exclusive interview, with a local musician, George Hall, who I predict will go on to bigger things. The first story is from the View from Weymouth and Portland newspaper, dated Thursday, February 10th, 2011. There has been a new solar park planned for the World Heritage Area. A major 40-acre solar park is being planned for the tiny village of Buckland Ripers, just outside Weymouth. Wessex Solar Energy said it is pushing a planning application to West District Dorset Council this month for the site off Nottington Lane. Director Ron Owen said there would be a public consultation with residents and local councils, and if all goes well and their application is approved, the construction should start in August. They would employ about 50 people, with a small number of occasional maintenance jobs being created once the park is operational. They didn't give any size of what the solar park would be. They said sheep would be used to graze around and under the solar panels to keep vegetation down inside the fence, with the lower edge of the, just turn the page, to page 3, of the panels being at least a metre off the ground to prevent gambling lambs jumping up and damaging them. So, we're hopefully going to have a solar park here. I don't know. Maybe we can get the power cheaper. Next item is, let me see, there's going to be a new Sainsbury's supermarket built on the new look site at Mercery Lane. What else? Lollipop staff saving lives, solar energy seminars. Knitters unite to create a woolen garden. Ice creams, sausages, a hedgehog and a chicken had people in stitches at Southall Community Centre in Weymouth. They were all made from wool and organisers were using them to illustrate the launch of a big community project to make an entire garden from wool. Another item is grass cutting just escapes being cut. cutting grass around Weymouth and Portland have narrowly escaped being a victim of the cuts itself. The borough and vital, well-groomed image provides visitors with the attractive outcome. But it faced a much overgrown future when Dorset County Council slashed the amount of annual cash it allocates from grass cutting from £60,000 to £30,000. A new one is A Whole Summer of Fun. Royal wedding bells dominate Weymouth and Portland events programme, which has just been launched for 2011. Prince William and Kate Middleton will be getting married in Westminster Abbey on Friday, April 29th, to spark the start of a bumper four-day bank holiday weekend in the resort. It will also feature street parties throughout Weymouth, the town's popular International Beach Kite Festival, live music on the beach, a fun fair and fireworks. The frigate HMS Portland will also be in harbour and open to visitors. Other major events during the year range from Weymouth Carnival Day and air show on April 17th to the Veterans Parade on June 19th and the Spirit of the Sea Festival on July 2nd to the 10th. Weymouth and Leisure spokesman Councillor Roger Allen said, "Our events programme is the lifeblood of our tourism industry, which is incredibly important to our local economy. There really is something for everyone amongst these events, all led by the Royal Wedding Bank Holiday Weekend. Overall, we have more than 200 events on during the year, and that is something that any resort would give their right arm for. The left arm, their right leg, and their left leg also, I think." Now we go on to the exclusive interview with local musician George Hall, who, as I said before, I think will go a long way. This interview was recorded in his home and includes an original number that he did for us. Okay, here's the interview. I hope you like it. So can you just tell the listeners what you do, how you first started playing guitar?
Well, initially my brother got a guitar for his birthday, and I thought it would be a good idea to start taking lessons with him. So we started getting lessons off our granddad, and then it went from there, really. And I got given a Jimi Hendrix album when I was 13. And then that kind of really changed, you know, it altered my view on what I wanted to do in the future completely, because I was, from then on, I just kind of was obsessed with the music of Jimi Hendrix and other guitarists after that. And yeah, it just went from there, really. I don't think there was ever a point where I thought, right, I want to be a guitarist now. It just seemed to happen that way after.
Mm. Yeah, I've been reading Mike Oldfield's autobiography recently, and it said that he discovered the guitar, and it just completely took him over.
Yeah.
I guess it's the same with you.
Yeah, absolutely. It started off as something that I enjoyed doing, and then it progressed from there to becoming where I'd play for like 5 hours a day and not even realise. So for me, it wasn't ever a hardship to kind of sit there and learn scales or chords or songs or anything like that. It was just something that I just did day in, day out.
And whose kind of music do you like most? You mentioned Hendrix.
Well, it's progressed a lot since then. I'm into quite a diverse amount of styles because of music, because I think it's important to kind of, the more if you think about your brain being like a sponge, it's almost like whatever you take in, you have, the more influences you have and the bigger palette of of music you have to work with. So I suppose in terms of guitar wise, it went from being like Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton and being into bands like Led Zeppelin, and then it went off into like Jeff Beck, and then later on like into guitarists like Steve Vai and stuff like that. So yeah, but I mean the music of Stevie Wonder, Jeff Buckley, those kind of artists as songwriters I really admire.
And you studied the guitar, went to college?
Yeah, I did a first and national diploma at Weymouth College, where that was a really good time for me, not just learning music, but because we were studying every day, I had to play the guitar every day, so that was good. But then I studied at the Academy of Contemporary Music. I did a higher diploma there in guitar, but that was specifically on guitar and not just music.
Right. And now you play in local bands and you've started playing on your own.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get a few bands together at the moment. There's a Motown project that I'm working on, and there's also a ska and reggae band, which are two genres of music that I've not really done before, but I thought it'd be interesting and new to get involved in. I'm also doing acoustic blues music, and the music of Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton and stuff like that, because it seems over the past 4 or 5 months or so, I kind of drifted away from Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton and the music that initially got me into playing guitar. But it seems that I've come back to that now, and
the whole thing's a circle.
Yeah, it is. It's like I started off with that, and now 8 years later or so, I'm back at that point with Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton. So I suppose it's the thing that got me into it in the first place.
Where do you see yourself going in the future with your music? Any ideas?
Well, I would love to be a solo artist out there touring, you know, making albums and stuff like that. But as well, I think at the moment I've just started teaching people guitar. I've got a few students, and that's something that, you know, I think every musician has to do at some point, right. You know, is pass on their kind of craft for money, if you see what I mean. But yeah, ideally, playing my own music to a lot of people is where I'd love to be.
Right. You're going to do a number for us.
Yeah.
You decided on one?
Yeah, it's going to be a song called Green Light.
And you've written this yourself?
Yeah, this is my own song. I wrote this 2 years ago, I think, now, so it's quite an old song for me, because I only started writing about 2 years ago, I suppose. Right. But I've always played around with songs, but yeah, this is one of the first songs I wrote, actually. So, do you want me to go ahead?
Please go ahead.
When you see the green light, you know it's all right. When you see that green light, no, it's alright. When you see that red one coming, you better stop now. See
stop tonight. Stop tonight. Stop tonight. You've got the power to change your man's mind. You've got the power to stay in control. When you see that red one coming, you better stop tonight. Stop tonight. Stop tonight.
Great. Is there anywhere that people can find out more about you? Have you got a Facebook? Or?
I'm going to work on that right at the moment. Not at the moment, but I am going to develop a MySpace page very soon and a YouTube channel and stuff like that.
Right. Okay, so from here, as you say, you're still looking around to start these two bands. Projects.
Mm.
When will you know about those?
Well, at the moment, they're in very early stages of development, really.
Right.
I'm just meeting with the other musicians involved and talking about what we're going to do, basically. But right. It seems promising. I think we're aiming to be gigging in both bands during the summer.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's great. So, when that happens, let me know.
Yeah.
And we'll do something with the bands.
Yeah, definitely, yeah, yeah. I think the ska and reggae band, there's going to be some original songwriting.
Right.
The Motown band is going to be just Motown covers. But in terms of bands as well, I'm trying to get a band to play my own music. At the moment, I've been speaking to bass players and drummers and stuff. I want to start like a trio,
right?
Like Cream and like Jimi Hendrix, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, I'm working on that as well. So
great. Okay, well, that's a good interview. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Cheers.
I really enjoyed that interview. If you have any events or ideas that would go in this spot, you can contact me. On my email address, there will be a link in the show notes, or through my MySpace profile, which you'll find a link in the show notes also, or my Facebook profile, you can find that there as well. Okay, that rounds up the News Monkey spot for this time. Well, you better get looking for some more news then, haven't you?
Hey, I'm Richie.
I'm Jim.
Line.
Andy!
And that's Andy. Join us each week at Destroy All Media.
What is Destroy All Media?
It's our TV and movie podcast.
Is it the same boring movie reviews that you get everywhere else?
Yes.
Is it the same TV and movie reviews you get everywhere else?
Why no, Jim. It's funny. It's wacky. It's zany.
Good golly, Maru. It's fun.
You can catch us on destroyallmedia.net or catch us on iTunes. Thank you.
No more. Because the way I
see it, darling. You got a mind that don't mean me no good. No, no good. You're a fast little thing now, sugar. Amtrak ain't got a thing on you. Sure don't. You're a fast little thing now, baby. Amtrak ain't got a thing on you. No, no. But there ain't no denying, I sure love the way you hoochie-coo. Mama tried to warn me about girls like you. I didn't listen to a doggone word she said. I should have listened to Mama. Mama tried to warn me about girls like you. I didn't listen to a doggone word she said. I should have listened to Mama. Well, that's why I run around, baby. Damn near about to go out of my head. Stone out of my head.
The track you just heard was Big George Jackson Blues Band with Southern in My Soul from the Podsafe Music Network. Again, you will find a link to his show notes and his website on my show notes. So if you want to go there, click on the link and you'll see what he does too. Right, let's have a bit of this.
Remember what summer used to be like when you were a kid? How Grandpa would pull out the old mini bike and take all the kids for a joyride around the lawn? He forgot how the throttle used to stick on hot days, for just as Grandpa was about to pick up his second rider, the bike lurched forward, dodging chickens and preschoolers as it wheelied uncontrollably down a logging road and onto the interstate, eventually crashing through the fence of a neighboring farm and interrupting the grazing of a bull named Thunder. Pepperhead Farms remembers. Our perforated wedgie buns look just like Grandpa did the day they pried his curled-up, manure-covered carcass off the horn of the angry beast. moist and chewy, ridged and crispy, and oozing with a layer of raspberry goodness. So the next time you think about summer and 2 tons of raw beef, think about Pepperhead Farms, because Pepperhead Farms dismembers.
Problem starts when I leave my bed to get coffee. They want too much money for a cup of joe, you see. For an espresso always charge me quite a fee. So they want $50 to buy a latte. Each day I really should not have what they brew. But a morning without coffee will leave me in a bad mood. I'll caffeinate myself as my wallet's being screwed, so they'll want $50 to buy a latte. $50 to buy a latte. They just take all my cash, Jack. Drink all I can stand. I'm a tired old boy, Roy. I need my caffeine. But the job is too much, Gus. They're so greedy at Starbucks. Might start drinking tea lean to save some money. Just take all my cash, Jack. Drink all I can stand. I'm a tired old boy, Roy. I just need my caffeine. But the job is too much, Gus. There's so plenty at Starbucks. I'm broke as can be, Lee. Even water ain't free.
One of the spots I've started doing is weird stuff, so let's give that a play, shall we?
Weird stuff!
Yes, it's time for the weird stuff spot again, where I include local reports of UFOs, black cats, big black cats, ghosts, and all kinds of strange things I find on the web and in the local media. So, the first story I start with is a UFO seen in Pimpern, Dorset on the 18th of July, 2009. The time was 22:15. The witnesses' names were Tim Giles, Kim McDermott, Michael Giles and Doreen Giles. This is from, let me see, where is this from? I've got to find it yet. UK UFO sightings .co.uk. Anyway, the witness's statement says, "We saw an orange fireball type object moving eastwards at a steady speed. This appeared to the southwest of Pimpern, Dorset, and got quite large as it passed over just to the south of Blandford Camp before disappearing out of the sight over the east, probably in the Salisbury direction. We heard no sound and the night was still with very little traffic to block any noise. This was at 22:15 on the 18th of July 2009. My partner managed to get a couple of pictures on her camera phone, but they looked like a dot on a black background. One does show it as an upright, elongated shape. Did anyone else see it?" So if anybody else saw something around the 18th of July 2009 in the Pimpern area, they can get in touch with me at zipshow@gmail.com. Next, we have a report of a mystery big cat at Osmonton Mills, just down the coast here from Weymouth. This happened on the 17th of June in 2004. A witness from Bristol reported the following sighting. "On Sunday, June 13th, I was walking with my 16-year-old son from Osmonton Mills to Spring Bottom along the footpath. It was 10 a.m. We were walking past a field on our left when I noticed an animal's head raised above the crop. It was lying down and it was a large cat. I pointed it out to my son. The cat turned to look at us, but it did not seem alarmed by us. I took out my camera, but because it was only a disposable type, the animal was out of viewing range. I walked into the field to get a closer for a picture, and the cat looked around again and slowly started to crawl on its belly, dragging itself with its front legs up the field away from me until it disappeared into the crop. We spotted the cat a minute or so later, further on up the field, still crawling. The cat was a light brown fawn colour all over, as much as I could see. It had a longish tail and noticeable ears. They were stuck up, and as it turned I could see the pink tinge inside. I estimated the cat's body was 24 to 30 inches long. The colour and shape reminded me of a miniature lioness. That is from the Dorset Big Cats Register, and I will include a link on my show notes page.
You are listening to Weird Stuff on the Zip & Co. Podcast Show.
Now I want to take you into the land of controversy here in Weymouth and Portland. This is a story about Portland's folklore and Portland's forgotten monster. Have you sighted Viesta, a Chesil Beach monster, or aren't you even looking? That's the title of an article on the weymouth.gov.uk site about the Portland monster. The copyright story here is by M.J. Ball in 1996. He goes on to say, Viesta is a rather a nice name for a monster. The root of the word stems from the old Dorsetshire dialect meaning feast, the olden day beach gathering that was held on a warm summer evening on the neatly shelved banks of Portland Chesil Beach. This area once had a well-established trade link with Spain. Depending on the pronunciation, Viesta sometimes sounded like Vista, that is the Spanish for on summer nights, sighted in all splendour, bathing off the hidden shores of this mythical coastline. Viesta is the Chesil Beach monster, and though ignored for over 500 years, she was sighted again as recently as August 1995, 50 yards off Chesil Beach at Portland. Some 12 feet high, half fish, half giant seahorse. On this occasion, it was I myself who saw her. Before then, I had never heard of Viesta, but that experience led me into the research which has borne fruit in this article and in the forthcoming book. As an aside, I'm actually trying to find that book now, but I haven't succeeded as yet. So you can see more of that item on the link that I will include in the show notes. Is it real or is it publicity? You decide. The next is a ghost story, a local ghost story I found on darkdorset.co.uk. The story is called The Phantom Coach of the Turbervilles. Have you not seen the bloodstained family coach of the Turbervilles? The story goes that in the reign of James I, John Turberville Esquire eloped in a carriage and fore with Lady Anne Howard, daughter of Viscount Bindon. That is all there is to the story, but popular tradition is associated with a spectral coach and four horses that drives from each house in the gloom of the evening and makes its way with great pace towards Bindon Abbey. It is alleged that no one can see the coach unless they have Turberville blood in their veins. The following is an alleged true story. Many years ago, a Wool clergyman invited a gentleman from Wiltshire to stay with him. His visitor, who arrived late on the dark night in December, had driven from Wareham in his carriage. When he reached his host's house, he asked whether any of the neighbouring tree had a coach and four. "Why, no," replied the host. "No one in the whole neighbourhood has had a coach and four in these days." "Well, somebody must have," said the Wiltshire gentleman, "because when coming to you in my carriage, I saw an old-fashioned four in hand, without riders, being driven at a great rate. To whom does it belong?" The parson looked at him curiously. "One around here is such a coach," he said. "You surely must have seen the Turberville coach. But there's an old story connected with it. No one can possibly see this Turberville coach unless he has the family blood in his veins. In the reign of James I, my ancestor Philip married Margaret Turberville, niece of the old squire of Woolbridge," replied the guest, to his host's astonishment. Woolbridge Manor was made famous as the location for Thomas Hardy's novel tests of the D'Urbervilles. This condition of mind, whereon she felt glorified by an iridation of her own, like the angel whom St. John saw in the sun, lasted till the sounds of the church bells had died away, and the emotions of the wedding service had calmed down. Her eyes could dwell upon details more clearly now, and Mr. and Mrs. Crick, having directed their own gig to be sent for them to leave the carriage to the young couple, she observed the building character of that conveyance for the first time. Sitting in silence, she regarded it long. "I fancy you seem oppressed, Tessie," said Claire. "Yes," she answered, putting her hand to her brow. "I tremble at many things. It is so serious, Angel. Amongst other things, I seem to have seen this carriage before, to be very well acquainted with it. It is very odd. I must have seen it in the dream." "Oh, you've heard the legend of the D'Urberville coach, that well-known superstition of this country about your family when they were very popular here, and this lumbering old thing reminds you of it." "I have never heard of it, to my knowledge," said she. "What is the legend? May I know it?" "Well, I would rather not tell it detail to you now. A certain D'Urberville of the 16th or 17th century committed a dreadful crime in his family coach, and since that time members of the family see or hear the old coach whenever. But I tell you another day, it is rather gloomy. Evidently some dim knowledge of it has been brought back to your mind by the sight of this venerable caravan." "I do not remember hearing of it before," she murmured. "It is when we are going to die, Angel, that members of my family see it, or it is when we have committed a crime." "Now, Tess," he silenced her by a kiss. The following account of the Phantom Coach is mentioned in Thomas Hardy's Dorset by R. Thurston Hopkins in 1922. "Then I asked the Gover about the D'Urberville ghost, which we are told haunts this lane, and which is the subject of an allusion in Hardy's Tess of the D'Urbervilles. His keen old face became serious at once. No ghosts or goblins had troubled him, he said, but John Rawless and another chap saw, as plain as could be, a funeral going along from Woolbridge House to Bear Regis, and they heard the priest singing in front of the coffin, and they could not understand what he did say. There was a cattle gate across the road in those days, and Rawls ran to open it, but before I could get there, the coffin had passed through the gate, and it had vanished. He had often heard tell of people who had seen ghosts, and he would not put about if he did not see one himself." "So you have not seen the blood-stained family coach of the D'Urbervilles?" I inquired. "No, I never see that," said Grover, shaking his head, "nor never heard of it." Then, as if a tale that every child should know, I said, "I will tell you now, and you should believe or know precisely how you choose. Once upon a time there was a D'Urberville who deserved to be remembered and be called, so to speak, the Limb of the Olden himself, for he spent all his days in wickedness and went roaring to the devil as fast as his voice would send him. I have heard it said that he snapped his fingers in the face of a good person who came to see him on his deathbed, saying he did not wish to talk balderdash or to hear it, and bade him clear out and send up his servant with fighting cocks and a bottle of brandy. Gradually all the drinking and vice which had besieged his soul for so long swept him into a state of temporary madness, and he murdered a friend while they were riding to Woolbridge House in the family coach. The friend he struck down had D'Urberville blood in his veins too, so you might be certain the blame was not on one side. Ever since the evil night, the coach with the demon horses dragging its sways and rocks along the road between Wool and Beer, and the murderer rushes after it, moaning and wringing his hands, but never having the fortune to catch up with it. The spectacle of the haunted coach cannot be seen by the ordinary wayfarer. It is only seen by persons in which blood of the D'Urberville is mixed." "Ah," nodded old Grover, "I don't hold much with that story. If so be as that here D'Urberville who murdered t'other, he have gone up above, 'tain't likely as how he'd been wishful to go roustering after the ripping great coach and a dull bad road like this. And then he shook his bony finger in my face and added, and if the Dower had a hold on him, he won't be able to be gallywagging about. He'd be kept there. If you have any encounters or ghost stories or big cat encounters you think would fit on this spot, you can send them to zipshow, that's ZIPPSHOW, at gmail.com. You never know, I might even get in touch with you and do an interview, and you can be right here on the show. So that's zipshow, ZIPPSHOW, at gmail.com.
Weird stuff!
TuneFire is a digital music distribution company. You send us your music and we place it for sale on the major MP3 download outlets like iTunes, Amazon, Spotify and HMV. You earn money from every track you sell. We collect that money for you and return it to you monthly. You keep control of your product and your rights. No record deal is required to get exposure to millions of customers. This is the modern way of selling your music.
TuneFire. TuneFire. It's a game changer.
Yes, the Zip & Co. podcast show is an associate of TuneFire.com, so if you want to go there via the button on my show notes page at www.zipzzipp.podomatic.com. Just click on that and it will tell you all about TuneFire. If you want to sell music through TuneFire, that will help this podcast keep on air. Okay, just go to zip.podomatic.com and click on the TuneFire button.
Good afternoon, this is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
As you probably heard me say in the interview, I recently read Mike Oldfield's biography, The Changeling, and he's always been a hero of mine for a very long time. I tried to find something to do with Mike Oldfield on the net. This is the closest I can find from, this is mashuptown.com. This is called Mike Oldfield versus Christina Aguilera. My Tubular Bells Tonight, DJs from Mars FM Remix.
I'm not a character, I'm in rare form. And if you really know me, you know it's not the norm. Cause I'm doing things that I normally don't do. Now I'm the only strong, I feel brand new. And if you don't like it, walk through. taking shots and I'm feeling fine. I'm kissing on the boys and the girls.
Some of them are cause I lost my mind.
Cause I'm doing things that I know me won't do. The old me's gone, I feel brand new. And if you don't let me go through.
Suffer from the embarrassment of sweaty palms? Afraid to go to meetings or social events because you'll have to shake hands? At the Sweaty Palms Institute, we help people just like you every day. I know, because I was one of them.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. The microphone, it just slipped out of my hand, sir. I'm sorry. I've got it now. My little nervous, that's, you know, being on the radio
okay,
and everything.
Let's try it again. Okay.
Let me just at the Sweaty Palms Institute. You know, the paper is kind of wet now. I can't read. Do you have a pen? I'm sorry. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I dropped that. Oh, wait. Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. That was me. They're both down here on the floor. I found them. There's the microphone.
And there's the pen.
Oh, you slipped. I'm sorry. My hands were on the floor there. Probably got a little wet. I'm sorry about that. Okay. You all right?
Okay. No, don't touch me.
The Sweaty Palms Institute. Call 1-800. Sweaty palm.
There's an event coming up at Weymouth Pavilion that I'd particularly like to mention. Lastly, it's by a theatre company called As One Theatre, and the show is called She Opened the Door, subtitled The Wife, the Mother, the Other Woman, and the Ruined Maid. A powder keg ready to blow in the world of Thomas Hardy. It was hailed in the press recently after its premiere as a play that is almost certain to become a theatrical treasure in the future. I'll just give you a quick synopsis of the press release that I was sent. It begins, award-winning As One Theatre Company are on to a winner with its latest production with literary genius Thomas Hardy's Woman at its heart. The popular company will be appearing at the Weymouth Pavilion. That will be on Friday the 25th of March at 7:30 p.m. You can get more information by calling Weymouth Pavilion 01305 783 225. Anyway, it continues, as part of its successful premiere tour of its newest play, She Opened the Door, with its intriguing subtitle. The play by Peter J. Cooper was especially commissioned for the International Thomas Hardy Festival 2010 and was seen by a packed house with delegates from all over the world, part of a full house. She Opened the Door, the title refers to a poem Hardy wrote after the death of his first wife, Emma, and how she inspired him, looks at the women who surrounded Thomas Hardy at the height of his fame in 1895. And reveals, rather topically, tackles the effect of celebrity on relationships. The evocative music and song had been written by internationally renowned Roderick Skeeping. She Opened the Door is described as a gripping fantasy based on fact, interweaving the real and fictional women from Hardy's life and work with his first wife Emma at its heart, cleverly interweaving some of Hardy's fictional characters' dialogue. The play with music takes a fresh look at the author's first wife Emma and her relationship with the literary genius. She Opened the Door takes place in the garden of their home at Max Gate, Dorchester. Ma Hardy's possessive mother, Jemima, comes to visit for a time, the first and only time, and Mrs. Florence Henniker, who has written a novel with James, with Hardy, arrives on the newfangled bicycle. Add a feisty ruined housemaid, some skeletons, and a ghost or two to Emma's already tangled nerves, and you have a powder keg ready to blow. As one employs talented professional performers from all over Wessex region, with a beautiful set and the costume designed by Annette Sumption and creatively projected imagery by Kevin Butcher, as one promises an evening of quality and surprise, a clever combination of a cracking story, intimate performance, beautiful costume and stunning projected image. I will put a link to the As One website on my show notes. So that's it for another show of the Zip and Co podcast show. That's show 18 in the can. As I say, you can find me on MySpace, Facebook. I'm now on Twitter. I do text Twitters and also Audio Boo, so keep a lookout for me there. If you want to go to Twitter and search for Zipster, that's ZZIPPSTER, you should find me there. I'm also contactable on Zipshow, ZZIPPSHOW at gmail.com. I also have a new comment line now, which you can find on the photograph that accompanies the show notes at www.zipzzip.podomatic.com. Okay, well, I'll see you for now and take care. Bye for now.
Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering?
Oh, I think so, Brain, but balancing a family and a career, it's all too much for me.
I think so, Brain, but if they called them sad meals, kids wouldn't buy them.
I think so, Brain, but me and Pippi Longstocking, I mean, what would the children look like? Well, I think so, Brain, but if we didn't have ears, we'd look like weasels.
Well, I think so, Brain, but if Jimmy cracks corn and no one cares, why does he keep doing it?
I think so, Brain, but this time you wear the tutu.
Yeah, Brain, but where are we going to find rubber pants our size?
I think so, Brain, but isn't that why they invented tube socks?
I think so, Brain, but we'll never get a monkey to use dental floss.
I think so, Brain, but the Rockettes? I mean, it's mostly girls, isn't it?
Well, I think so, Brain, but do I really need two tongues?
Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
Yes, I am.
Enough!
We must plan for tomorrow night.
Why? What are we going to do tomorrow night?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
The Zip & Co. podcast show is a media presentation by Zip Creators.